Good afternoon, West Liberty. This is Austin Beatty, and you are listening to 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, I'm here for my fourth and final interview of the Passionately Vocal series. It's titled Distinctive Discussion for the Class Audio Production for Media, or DMD 204. My guest visiting here today is from North Germain, PA in Washington County, Mr. Tony Andronis. Mr. Andronis has been in law enforcement for over 25 years, has been a deputy sheriff, a chief deputy sheriff, and now finally a sheriff after earning a Bachelor of Science from California University of PA and graduating from the IUP Police Academy and from the Penn State Dickinson School of Law Sheriff's Act II training. During his career, Tony has served with honor as a full-time police officer with the South Park Township Police Department in Southern Allegheny County, and has served in Carroll Township Police Department, California Borough Police Department, East Washington Borough Police Department, and the RESA Regional Police Department as a part of Washington County. So just to get into things, I'm going to ask, how are you today?
Hey, good morning, Austin. I'm doing well. Good afternoon, I guess. We're kind of like past lunchtime.
Yeah.
So good talking to you today.
Yep. So to kind of get into things for the interview today, I just wanted to start off with a few questions about, so whenever you started running for sheriff, you had your five hard points. I want to talk about four of them today, really.
Okay.
So one was to utilize 25 years of law enforcement experience to keep families safe. A couple questions I had about that was, through your 25 years of law enforcement, what are some of your favorite memories in the field that you can tell us that you kind of used to run for sheriff?
Yeah, hey, that's a good question. Obviously, 25 years can be a long time in a lot of professions. I was blessed. I was able to wear the hat of a deputy sheriff, then as a patrol officer, and then I came back to our sheriff's office about 8 years ago. A lot of the memories, Austin, really, in law enforcement, you deal with people. I have a lot of good memories of just helping people out in any way, whether they were a victim of a crime or whether they were a motorist on the side of the road. Really, you know, being a law enforcement person or a law enforcement professional, you deal with people. So helping people, you know, you have a lot of memories. Some specifics, when I was at South Park Township as a police officer, I did a lot of their public relations. I did programs for, you know, the community, and one of the programs were the DARE program,
okay,
which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yep.
So I was a DARE officer in the South Park Public School for 10 years, and we taught kindergarten through fifth grade. So that was good times, being with the kid, being with the faculty.
So you mentioned the DARE program and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
So are there any other specific, police department memories that you really just stick out to you, or is it just that one in?
Yeah, it would be the DARE. I mean, we've had some incidents, you know, in the community where you're able to help somebody, just a lot of stuff doing with, you know, calls for service, whether it was a disabled motorist or, you know, whether you were recognized, you know, during your course of duty for doing a good job. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of long days on the road, as you could tell.
Yeah,
you know, a lot
yeah.
of the departments work 8-hour shifts. Some work 12-hour shifts now. You know, you're out in the weather for 12 hours. You're out going call to call, you know, for 12 hours. You know, you're going to skip a lunch. You're going to skip a dinner. You're going to miss sometimes some of your family functions because you're getting held over on your shift. So it's a lot of good stuff,
yeah.
You know, a lot of good stuff. But again, you know, I always tell everybody, law enforcement, we're community helpers.
Yep.
You know, we're there to help the community. It might be help the fire department. It might be help a resident. It might be help another law enforcement agency. So, yeah.
And a lot of that as a part of, like, someone that's not a part of the police anything, really, it's a lot of it you don't see. And you just have to recognize and kind of appreciate all that you do.
And I would talk to a lot, like if I would talk to our schools or even maybe some of our groups in the community, I would tell them, you know, not all of the radio calls or not all the calls for service that we would get had to do with criminal activity.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people are asking you for advice or to help with a matter in the community. So, you know, not a lot of our actions are, you know, related to criminal activity or, you know, breaking of the law. So, you know, we're there to assist. You know, a motorist on the side of the road with a flat tire is not obviously a criminal activity. You know, you're there to help the motorist and get them going, keep them safe while the tow truck's coming, keep them safe while they're changing the tire. I mean, heck, you may have to change the tire for them.
Yep.
You know, so.
So yeah. It's just a lot about keeping everyone safe. It's not always about enforcing the law, but.
Correct.
So to get past that, I had a question about the academy. So was there anything that kind of surprised you or like especially helped you whenever you were there?
The academy, so I went to the academy, Austin, don't quote, I think I was 22 years old when I went to the academy. A lot of physical activity, a lot of, you know, the running and all that. So that was obviously difficult, you know, at first. And that was with me preparing. You know, I was living at California University at the time. It's now Penn West. You know, and there was a group of us that had enrolled in the academy. So we would take time, you know, trying to get physically fit for the academy. But even when it started, it was a little overwhelming. You know, a lot of running, a lot of working out, the obstacle courses and whatnot. So that was a little bit, little difficult, you know, you can imagine at first. A sense of teamwork. So once you kind of got in the academy, got in the groove, as you can call it, you know, there was a sense of teamwork. They instilled the teamwork with all the cadets. So you started to figure out pretty quick that any obstacle or any task that they would assign you, you know, you could get through it with teamwork. Because a lot of there was physical, you know, we would do a lot of the physical training. You know, we would start working with, you know, mechanics, as you want to call it, you know, trying to handcuff a subject that maybe didn't want to be handcuffed, trying to detain somebody that didn't want to be detained. That was a lot of the drills.
Yeah.
That we partook. So there was a physical aspect, and of course the classroom aspect. You know, you had certain modules and that you had to achieve a certain grade, you know, on each test.
Mm-hmm.
So if it wasn't weekly, it was maybe every 2 or 3 weeks you would have an exam. So not only physically, but you had to, you know, you had to hit the books. You had to hit the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, you had to carry that percentage, whatever it may have been, throughout the academy. So...
Well, a question that I kind of just, like, thought of was how much of the training, like, preparation before you went to the academy, like, actually helped, since a lot of it, you said, was more mind and in the classroom type of things? So
yeah. So, you know, preparing you, like, for the road, per se?
Well, preparing you just, like, you said there was a lot of running, there was a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
Physical.
Yeah, and no matter how much we prepped, there was a few of us that were from the university that went, you know, no matter how much we prepped, it seemed like we didn't prep enough, you know, and the first month or so was tough. And, again, I was much younger then, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, you know, and then the classroom, you know, you get together, you had study groups. And we would get together, you know, before the exams, you know, in groups, and we would go over the material. You know, it was a lot. You're learning traffic law. You're learning criminal law. You know, it was a lot. And you didn't know what the test, you know, you didn't know what section was going to be on that test.
Yeah.
So as you know, the laws of each state, you know, or the books are thick. And, you know, you didn't know what the 50 questions would be. So you had to cover just about everything. So...
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I like it's a second, you went to college and then I feel like this is like a second college. Like it's.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and they're trying to jam it, you know, they're trying to jam. I think my curriculum was 630 some hours of training. You know, they're trying to give that cadet the tools he or she will need.
Yeah.
You know, when they initially get out on the road and get hired with an agency or a department, you know, so I'm sure the curriculum is not easy to put together for the instructor team as well. But and then, you know, you get hired on with the department, and the departments will then have a field training program themselves. and I'm sure we could talk about that, you know, a little later in the conversation.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that was point one. I want to kind of move on to point two. It was, you said to defend the Constitution and continue to uphold our Second Amendment rights. So there's a lot of, obviously a lot of controversial things that go on with the Second Amendment that you have to deal with, but is there any kind of, like, difference from when you started this field to now, like, that you would kind of, like, change your rule for today or anything?
No, so, like, the Second Amendment is obviously number two of our Bill of Rights.
Yep.
The Second Amendment deals with, you know, our right to bear arms. So as it sits now, I sit as your elected sheriff in Washington County. So I am the issuing authority of the license to carry firearms concealed. So right now, really nothing has changed for us. We still are supporting the Second Amendment, and we still are issuing the firearms licenses, you know, on a daily basis.
Yep.
As far as how things in the world have changed, I think I caught that in that question.
Yep.
Law enforcement, I think, has seen, in general, we have seen, you know, a lot of technology come to our doorstep, whether it be the in-car cameras, whether it be the body cameras, the reporting systems. You know, just about all of our actions in law enforcement, we do some type of report. A lot of technology, you know, not only do we have a computer at the station, well, we have them in our cars now. So, you know, 25 years ago when I started, there was no typing a report in the car. It was to go back to the building.
Yeah.
You know, so now the technology is in the cars where we have the laptops and we're able to, you know, not only check license plates and check driver's license statuses, but we're able to do a lot of our paperwork in the car now.
And do it right away, trying to, like,
do
avoid
it right away. And then as you get closer to your office, you know, it downloads to your cloud of your office or your building, you know, so the report systems now, you know, these officers now on the road can type a lot of that stuff, you know, in their car. So the cars stay on the road, the cars stay visible. The body cams are new. They have the technology, again, everything that officer would do gets downloaded to the cloud, you know, when and if they get near their station. The in-car cameras were something that I saw probably 3 to 5 years into my tenure in law enforcement. When I went to South Park, they had instituted the in-car cameras. So, and at the time, don't chuckle, it was an actual tape, a VHS tape, you know, and then as time went on, the cars became digital.
Yeah.
You know, all the footage turned into digital, and it would get downloaded to a cloud, per se. So, you know, a different server. So, but technology, you know, technology definitely is at our doorstep. But then a lot of agencies, Austin, I'll be very straight, you know, with that technology, there's a cost. So a lot of the agencies, you know, try to keep up, or their bosses may want to keep up with the technology, but then there's an absorbing cost that a lot of smaller law enforcement agencies, you know, they can't absorb that.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you know, you're from Western Pennsylvania, you're in school now in West Virginia, you run across small agencies, you run across big agencies, then you have county and you have state agencies. You know, everybody's funding is a little bit different.
Yeah. So it seems like there's a lot of, like, ways to protect, like, so the way I'd want to word it is, I think guns have became, like, bad in the audience's eyes almost, and there's a lot of ways for the police departments to protect themselves from any, like, unnecessary consequences, I would want to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, it, you know, we'll just talk about any, you know, question of any use of force.
Yeah.
You know, whether the officer has to go hands-on or whether the officer has to use the pepper spray or mace or maybe his or her taser. And then, obviously, you know, the firearm, you know, which is considered deadly force. You know, there's going to, you know, the technology's there now to record, you know, the officer's actions. I think that's kind of the route you're going.
Yep.
You know, there's going to be footage, whether it's on the officer's body cam or from the officer's cruiser, or, you know, the matter occurred outside of a business, or the matter occurred outside of a home. I mean, you know, with the technology with, you know, with the Ring style doorbells.
Yep.
You know, I'm not promoting Ring, but you know, the video doorbells that you have at many residences now, or surveillance cameras, you know, outside folks' homes. So the technology, like, you know, I said earlier, is on the doorstep, not just for us, but just for a homeowner or a resident. You know, so, you know, the actions of law enforcement, I would agree with you. You know, there's more surveillance footage. Yeah, I would agree with you.
Not even just helping the police departments, but even, like, even the just community, even if something goes wrong, it supports the community, too, so...
You know, we've become a very digital age, and not to show my age, you know, I'm early 50s, you know, the cell phones, and then, you know, like we said, the video cameras, the surveillance systems at the shopping centers and at the malls or at the traffic. You know, a lot of your major traffic intersections now have traffic cams.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't even notice them, but they're there. Then you have the police or the sheriff cruiser that may have a camera system in it. You know, or then you have that officer that has a body cam, you know, hanging on their ballistic vest. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to move on to point three, if that's okay. You said support fiscally conservative principles to protect taxpayers. So in your words, what's that really mean?
Okay. I think I said a few minutes ago, you know, a lot of the departments, you know, have budget concerns or budget constraints. So, you know, as an elected official, so most 80 to 90% of all the sheriffs in Pennsylvania are elected. We only have a few counties where the sheriff is appointed.
Okay.
So being elected, I answer to the people of Washington County. So if I would do, let's say, I let my budget go, and then I spend too much money on a certain line item or several line items, and I would go over budget, you know, for year one or year two or year after year. So that's kind of where, you know, I had that pledge that as your sheriff, I would do everything I can to stay within my budget. So fiscally conservative.
Okay.
So, you know, and I said a little bit ago, you know, with the technology, you know, some of the departments, you know, every department has different needs. Every department has different budgets as well. So it's up to that chief or that law enforcement executive in that agency to try to, you know, get the technology to his doorstep, but in the same respect, where is he or she going to get the funding?
Yep.
So, and obviously there's grants, Austin, there's state grants, there's federal grants, you know, and then, you know, you're relying on taxpayers, whether it's a community or whether it's a county, you know, like, you know, I sit at the county seat, the county level, you know, I want to try to stay within my budget and be responsible to the taxpayers.
Gotcha. Okay, moving on to point four, lead by example and always put public safety before politics. So hearing what you said earlier about just helping the public, it's not really about enforcing the law. You want to help. It's what it really is. So a question I had about it was, what are some of the things you wish to lead by example by doing?
Oh, and I think it's a good point. You picked up on that earlier. That would be my bullet point for this. You know, at the end of the day, you're a community helper. Whether you're helping out here on the county, you know, on our county campus, you're helping out the other county agencies, or I'm helping a local law enforcement agency out in my county, or I'm in a community, you know, partaking in some type of safety program, or we're in our schools. You know, I think as being the law enforcement, you know, elected law enforcement sheriff of the county, I think it's good that, you know, I or my deputies are involved in, you know, safety programs, helping out other agencies, helping out not only the sister and brother agencies within the county. You know, we assist juvenile probation. We assist our children and youth services. We obviously assist our courts by providing, you know, a security presence at our courts. We assist our jail, you know, with transportations of any of the inmates in and out of the facility, whether it be for a hearing or whether it be for a simple doctor's appointment, you know. So as a community helper, we're wearing that hat.
Yep.
You know, I have no problem with our deputies being out and about in the public in that respect. And again, as we talked a little bit earlier, you know, not all of law enforcement's movements are because of a breach of peace or a law being broken. You know, so, and then, I mean, as far as lead by example, I mean, our law enforcement agency here, we have a policy, we have a procedure manual. You know, we ask that our deputies, you know, follow that policy and procedure manual and obviously operate under the color of law. You know, the laws are there. So we are to abide by them, just as we're asking our residents to abide by them. So, yeah, policy, procedure, color of law, and then, of course, I guess, you know, to be a community helper, to be out, try to be out in the community as much as we can helping out.
It seems like a like you're just trying to band everyone together as, like, a big family, which is kind of a good way to lead by example, I guess.
Yes. You know, and even internally, you know, and I understand my role as the sheriff, yeah, and I, but I also have, you know, a management team under me, and, you know, I want to be able to give those deputies room to maneuver in their roles. I want to listen to their ideas, whether it be something to do with the community or whether it be how we do business here at our office. You know, have a nice round table, and, you know, we try to have meetings monthly. I try to sit down with my management staff. You know, with all in told, we're about 43 deputies, and that includes my management team. So we're not a big agency, Austin, yeah, but we're not a small agency either. You know, so as the sheriff, I try to have that open door to where I can hear, you know, some of their ideas. And obviously, in my absence, you know, that management team looks after my office. So I'm very blessed in that respect.
Yep. So you keep mentioning the things that you have to do as a sheriff. So I just want to ask what job position has been your kind of favorite and, like, why it would be that one?
Job position, well, obviously, you know, I'm humbled and blessed to be the sheriff of our county. That was something that I, you know, aspired to do. Over the years, Austin, I enjoyed being on the road. So I was on the road as a patrol officer. You know, I was out in the car.
Yep.
It's kind of like your own little office. And, you know, you're out in the community. And even when I came back to the sheriff's office about 9 years ago, you know, after my police job. And I really enjoyed being, you know, a patrol officer and really enjoyed being a deputy, being on the road. I enjoyed being the chief deputy. I enjoy, of course, you know, being the elected official, your sheriff now, but I enjoyed being on the road.
Yeah.
And I, you know, back to being on the road, helping the folks. And every day's different. And that's, you know, if you were to ask me, hey, Tony, you know, why I was attracted to law enforcement, because every day was a different day at the office.
Yeah.
But the office wasn't an office. The office might have been the front seat of a Ford police vehicle. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it was different. And, you know, my degree is not in criminal justice. My degree is in education. So, you know, I had a desire to go into law enforcement, and I didn't jump on that until I was several years into my college, where I decided that I was going to pursue, you know, the police academy. So.
Okay. The next question I was going to ask was what all you did in the other jobs, but you kind of answered that. If you have anything else to add to that question, then go ahead. But
you know, as the patrol, I think when I was at South Park Township, I did the DARE. We talked about the DARE.
Yep.
I was a field training officer, and what that means is that they sent me to some specialty training, and then any new hires that would come into our agency, they would spend up to 90 days with me. And then we had another FTO, field training officer, as well. So if we would hire multiple officers, you know, that they would spend 45 days with me, and they would spend 45 days with my partner. So that was, I enjoyed field training as well. That was a good chance to, keep my tools sharp, because I'm teaching a new hire how we operated in that agency, and, you know, teach them on the road, teach them our procedure, our policy. And the whole time I'm doing that, I'm keeping my tools sharp, because I'm regurgitating stuff that maybe I haven't done for many years.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed being a field training officer, you know, at the in my police department prior to coming here.
It seems like all of the job positions have their benefits, really. I mean, there's so much good that you've said about all of them that it's kind of making me want to join it, you know?
It's, you know, it's different every day. And, you know, here at our office, we have deputies that do transports. We have deputies that cover our county campus, you know, our buildings.
Yep.
We have a fugitive warrant division. Those are the guys and girls that go out and, you know, look for folks on the county bench warrants.
Yep.
I do, you know, I have a DARE program. I'm very proud to say I have a DARE officer. Deputy Davison, she does a great job for us. We have a canine. I have an explosives and a detection dog. I have, you know, she does a great job for us. So our agency is just big enough that we can have several options, you know, for the deputies.
Yep.
We cover our county parks. We have two county parks, pretty good-sized county parks in our county. We offer patrol services to those parks. So, you know, although, again, we're not the biggest agency, but we're not the smallest. So, you know, there's many different hats you could wear if you worked here at the Washington County Sheriff's Office.
Makes sense. Well, if you don't have anything else to say about that, we're going to hit a short break. Is that okay? All right. So this is 91.5 WGOZ West Serbity, and then we're going to get right back into the interview titled Distinctive Discussion with Mr. Tony Andronis.
You're listening to 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty, college's top hit music station.
All right, welcome back, West Liberty. This is Austin Beatty, and you are listening to 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. I'm back with Mr. Tony Andronis as a part of our DMD 204, or Audio Production for Media, Passionately Vocal series, and our Distinctive Discussion segment. We were just overviewing a lot of the job positions, his five-point action plan, a couple of those, and then some of his favorite memories throughout the years. And now we're going to talk more into more into depth about his life now and what a day looks like in his shoes, a few of his hobbies, and his life outside of being the chief sheriff, or sheriff now. But so to start off this portion of the interview, I just wanted to ask, have you always wanted to do what you're doing now, and have you been, or like, what led you to this position?
Hey, Austin, good to talk to you again. Well, I think you know, my story is one that obviously I've probably said to 1,000 people last year when I was, you know, running for my position. You know, I grew up in the North Strabane, Canonsburg area. I had great interactions with my local law enforcement. Right out of high school, I wanted to pursue law enforcement, and I had a little bit of family opposition. My grandmother did not want me to pursue law enforcement. So I took a year off. I worked full-time. I went to community college, and then I ended up at California University, again, which is now Penn West.
Yep.
And I pursued... my major was education, elementary education. So fast forward, probably I think it was the start of my junior year, I had an opportunity to talk to a couple of the Pennsylvania State Troopers. They were at our student union. They were recruiting for the Pennsylvania State Police. And I was able to sit with them and kind of talk to them and said, hey, I always wanted to pursue law enforcement. You know, they very candidly said, why didn't you? And I said, well, you know, my grandparents didn't want me to do law enforcement. I have family that are in the education, they're teachers, they're guidance counselors. You know, I kind of came here to get a degree in teaching.
Okay.
You know, I laugh. I took the state police test that spring, and I missed it. I missed that test by 0.72, not even a point. But as I kind of looked at the law enforcement career, I found out that IUP, Indiana University, had an academy at California University. So, you know, I'm living on campus at the time because I commuted for a few years, Austin, and then I stayed there for my last few years.
Okay.
That's when I pursued law enforcement. I sat down with my family, my mom and dad, and I said, hey, I'm going to enroll in the police academy. It starts in like 5 months. You know, initially my parents asked, you know, what about your degree? And I said, well, I'm on track to graduate next year, but in the meantime, you know, I'm going to be at the academy. So my academy was a part-time academy. Indiana offered it at California at the time. So I attended the police academy for 12 months, May to May. So that following May, I obviously finished my credits at California University, and then I also finished the police academy a few weeks later.
Okay.
My first law enforcement job was then here at the Washington County Sheriff's Office. You know, that summer I got hired.
So you mentioned you always wanted to go into law enforcement. Was there any reason, like, growing up?
I think, Austin, back to kind of what we talked about before the break, I enjoy people.
Yeah.
And I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy meeting people. And ultimately, I think if you're in that realm, you're going to enjoy helping people. And, you know, it just seemed natural. I had an uncle who was a sheriff's deputy out in California. You know, I don't want to say that was a big influence, but it was my mom's brother. You know, he did a stint in law enforcement, and then he became a pilot. He started to fly, you know, commercially and then private. So I always had an interest, but I really enjoy people. And if you enjoy people, then I think you'll enjoy helping people.
Yeah.
So I knew in that segment, you know, in law enforcement, again, you and I have talked about the community helper, but you're in that position to make a difference. I did like the idea. I think I mentioned earlier about being in the car. You're your own boss.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, every day is different. I mean, you might put the same uniform on and go to the same time clock and get in the same police cruiser every morning, but you know, a lot of your days were very different. So that was very intriguing to me as well, was to, you know, do different things daily.
Yeah.
Daily.
So the you went to school for education to be a teacher.
Yes.
So
yes.
That kind of ties into helping the community, helping people, and you like to help people, but you don't
yes.
get that same. You kind of get the same day every day for the entire school year. It kind of seems like, in my opinion. But as a police officer, you kind of, like you said, you get the different day every day. You never know
every
what's going to happen.
Every day was different.
Yep.
And it was kind of nice because once I landed at South Park Township, I was able, they sent me to the DARE training. And obviously, you know, the DARE training is that officer, he or she, is in that school for 45 minutes or an hour in front of a classroom. So I can never say that my education, you know, me pursuing education did not help me out. You know, when I went for the DARE training, I was very comfortable in that classroom setting.
Yep.
Even through the 2 weeks of training, and even when I, you know, went to the public school in South Park, I was very comfortable in front of the room. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the kids. I enjoyed dealing with the faculty. I enjoyed spending time in the school. So, you know, and as I said earlier, I did that for 10 years, you know, in the South Park schools. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was a great time. And it was a change. You know, and again, I go back to, you're in the car every day. You're in the cruiser, in the police car. You're on patrol. And then, you know, a few hours each day or sometimes the full day, you know, I would kind of change gears a little bit and go to the school for the day, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, good times, very memorable, you know, but they were very receptive to our program, and we had four DARE officers at the South Park Police Department, so we were very involved in the school.
You mentioned you went to CalU, and there was kind of like a tie-in for IUP, so did you have any history on why you went to CalU, like, starting off?
Well, I think at the time, so kind of dating myself, at the time, mid-90s, early 90s, you know, California is, I think, still known as a education college, a teacher's college.
Mm-hmm.
They have branched out considerably since the mid-90s. But at the time, I was living, you know, 30 minutes from the school, 25 minutes from the school. And like I said earlier, I had commuted. You know, I was still working full-time. I actually worked at Toys R Us. I was there full-time, and I was commuting to Cal, you know, Cal University part-time or full-time as well. You know, I always tried to carry at least 12 credits, if not 15 credits.
Yep.
And so it was like 25 minutes from my house. So when I, you know, when I was commuting, I was able to work full time and I was able to go to Cal. You know, it worked out. I did that for about 2.5 years.
It's kind of about the same distance from my house to West Lib, so I can understand
that. You know, 30-minute drive, not bad.
Nope.
And then, you know, it kind of played into my favor, as I said earlier. It just, all of a sudden, I found out that IUP had what they called a satellite academy at the time, and I think they had one at Shippensburg University as well, and I think they had one at Carnegie Mellon as well, Carnegie Mellon University. So they had three going on in our region. But obviously, when I was living at California University, it was much more convenient for me to go to the academy there.
So you also mentioned that it was about like half, like part-time academy, I guess. I don't know how you would really say that, but was there anything different that you weren't expecting or were expecting? That
no, we went 2 nights a week. We went Tuesday and Thursday evenings. I think it was about 4 or 5 hours. And then we went every Saturday. So it worked out with my college schedule. And obviously college schedules generally don't have anything on Saturday. So that was the full day on Saturday.
Yep.
It was a 12-month course. And I was able to finish basically my senior year of college. So I started my junior year. And then obviously a year later, I was able to finish my senior year of college. And then I was able to finish the academy a few weeks later. So I finished both programs up in May of that year. And then I actively started to apply for law enforcement jobs.
Okay. So my last question about, like, school, college, or the academy is, was there anything you wish you did differently, or whether it was, like, wishing you went to a completely different place, or if it was just something as small as taking different classes at certain times, or even if you wish you wanted to go, or if you waited to go to college, like, I just found out that you did that, so that kind of answers that question, but was there anything else that you kind of wish you did differently?
Austin, I think life experiences, I think, have a lot to do with, you know, our choices in life, and maybe even the career. I mean, you know, I worked for 1 year, I had to sit down with my parents, and it was, you know, you're going to continue to work, or you're going to go to college. So, I then went to Community College of Allegheny County for about a year and a half, and then I transferred to Cal, and then obviously, we just talked about it, I pursued, you know, the police academy. I think everything, you know, Austin, played out as it should.
Yep.
My formal education probably took me, you know, a little over 5 years, 5.5 years between the community college, then my time at, you know, now Penn West. And then, you know, obviously the academy was kind of concurrent. The job market was very competitive for law enforcement, you know, in the mid-90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the job market was very competitive for teaching. So, you know, as a 21 or 22-year-old young man, I kind of figured either way I would have to work pretty hard at getting either job.
Yeah.
I pursued the law enforcement. I always knew in the back of my mind if I couldn't achieve my goal in law enforcement, I obviously had my degree in education to fall back on. So, you know, I never look at my degree in education and I go, maybe it should have been criminal justice. You know, again, it's a life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I said a few minutes ago, I was able to be in the DARE program. You know, and the DARE program came very natural for me because of my formal education to be an elementary school teacher. You know, and I spent a majority of my time, you know, with the DARE program in kindergarten through fifth grade. So, you know, everything fell together.
It all tied in.
Yeah, it all tied in, Austin, you know, and it's, things happen for a reason. You know, that's something my mom always told me. Sometimes those things are good, sometimes those things are bad. But everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And when I was here as a young deputy, I always had the vision, you know, hey, I'd like to come back to my home county one day and be our sheriff. And it plays out. It played out. And I'm very humbled, you know, very blessed.
Yep.
To be in this position and, you know, to have an opportunity to talk to you and you know, all the students and faculty down at your university, you know, that may be listening right now. You know, you got to have some dreams, and sometimes those dreams play out. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask about a little bit about your life now, to get out of the college aspect. What all you like doing outside of the workspace, or like some of the hobbies or something you wish you did more of?
Well, I enjoy, so hobbies, I hunt, I fish, I love to target shoot, I love to shoot my pistols, I do enjoy motorcycling, not so much dirt bikes when I was growing up, but, you know, road motorcycles,
yep.
And I probably wish, out of those, I wish I could go on some more motorcycle rides. I never seem to carve out enough time in my day-to-day schedule to throw my leg over the motorcycle and go for a ride. So that would be definitely something, you know, if you said, what would you like to do more next year? It'd be like, go for a motorcycle ride. So I, you know, I have two beautiful bikes that are sitting in my garage, and I don't want to say they collect dust, but they kind of do. They kind of do. So I have my, you know, and going to the Sportsman's Club, I enjoy going up and shooting. It's a family event. I'm blessed. My wife shoots. My son shoot. My daughter, and my daughter's 11 years old. She shoots. So when we go to the range, it's usually a good 3-4 hour day. And, you know, we shoot a lot of 22, obviously cost effective. And then obviously, you know, my kids are shooting. So we shoot a lot of 22 rifle, 22 pistol. So, but yeah, I enjoy being outdoors. I've obviously been hunting. You know, this past week, I haven't been too lucky, but, you know, they always say a good day in the woods is better than a good day or a bad day at work, or vice versa, a bad day in the woods. So,
yep.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I enjoy being outdoors, and I always have. You know, even when we were in college or growing up, you know, it was a big thing to go first day of trout, first day of deer, archery hunting, et cetera. So I still try to do that stuff as much as I can.
Yeah. Okay, so the last two questions I wanted to ask are, what does a day in your life look like now, and what would a perfect day in your life look like a couple years down the road, whether you decide to make it about when you're retired or when you are still working? But
well, my day, you know, my day consists of now. I usually try to report, you know, report or come to my office, you know, every morning. You know, we work, you know, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock is my office, so I try to be in, you know, during that time. If I don't come into the office and I may be at a meeting, you know, somewhere in the county or checking on the parks, we still have those parks we check on. We usually come in, I'll usually have a quick meeting with my chief deputy. He handles the office in my absence. You know, for example, this morning we had a small staff meeting, you know, before, you know, the end of the year, talking about, you know, some of our goals, some of our plans, you know, address any concerns.
Yep.
You know, usually I could be in my office, you know, for example, last night I was here till after 5 just because I had a meeting to go to. So I'm one of the wheels, you know, in the cogs with the county, you know, the county government. You know, I deal with, again, juvenile probation, children and youth, our courts, our elected commissioners, you know, anything that goes on in the campus, you know, we try to be involved in. So down the road, I would assume you meant retirement.
Yeah.
You know, I would like, yeah, I'd like to, you know, one point retire. You know, I still have my young daughter. You know, she's 11. So she's going to be, you know, with me and my wife for a while. My son is going to be 15 this month. So, you know, obviously 2 or 3 years, you know, hopefully he'll be looking at some education or formal training or maybe the military.
Yep.
So, you know, you want to be in this profession, Austin, as long as I can still do good and I can still make a difference. And I'm sure there's another young man or young lady out there that would want to be the sheriff of Washington County one day. You know, just as I had that dream, you know, somebody else will as well. So, you know, and I'll recognize, I think, when it's time to hang up the gun belt, per se.
Yep.
But I don't want to do that anytime soon. You know what I mean? So I still enjoy serving. I still enjoy, you know, coming into work every day. I still enjoy putting my uniform on. So
it just comes down that you're still able to help people. So
yep, still able to do good, you know, and And that good could be different every day, Austin. It could be do something good on our county campus. It could be do something good for one of my employees. It could be do something good for somebody in the community, whether it's a business or whether it's a resident or it's somebody that, you know, is having difficult times. You know, we're able to help out. And yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I am Austin Beattie, and that's all I really have for you today with the interview with Mr. Tony Andronis. If you don't have anything else.
No, I'd like to thank you for including me in this segment. It's important, that I help out where I can, and I'm happy to be able to help you and get on the airwaves down there in West Lib.
And
if you need anything else, Austin, or anybody needs something down there, give us a call. And have a good holiday, you and your family.
You as well.
And thanks for having me.
Thanks
for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yep.
Yes, sir. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. So to recap a lot of what we just talked about, we talked about his 5-point action plan as a sheriff and what some of his favorite law enforcement memories were. We talked about how much of the field of law enforcement has changed since he entered it and what a day in the life of his position looks like. Lastly, we just talked briefly about the life he has outside of the workplace and some of his favorite hobbies and how much he likes to help people. So if I believe that's it. That kind of wraps up our fourth interview titled Distinctive Discussion as a part of our series Passionately Vocal for our DMD 204 or audio production for media. You are listening to 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal.